Do you agree? This is what one of the major points that you learned on Friday. Raise your hand. Yes? This is what you learned? I agree. No? Oh, maybe I got my formatting wrong. Can you fix it for me? How about now? It says, no, number one loves me. In fact, God will always love me. God will always love you. Slow. I just want you to understand, you really have to take context into consideration when you are trying to understand something, right? When someone's trying to tell you something, you have to know where they're coming from, or else you might get a confusing message, or in this case, the opposite message, right? There are some verses in the Bible, in fact, that some people read, and they read it out of context, they read it at face value, and they get confused. And here's one of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 4 to 5. If you can read this. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is the same as having her head shaved. Girls, you better cover your head with your hands. We might have to shave your hair. Does this make any sense to you? If you take it at face value, how else can you understand what this verse says, right? Women should be covering their head in church. And in fact, there's some churches where women go to church with their heads covered. But let's understand what the context is for this verse, because I think it's causing confusion, right? So what is the context? The church in Corinth was made up of different ethnicities, different cultures, different religious backgrounds, different social statuses. So there was a lot of differences within the church of Corinth, but those differences were causing divisions in the church, and they were not functioning well. So when Paul heard about all the problems going on in this church, he wrote this letter and was pointing out to them, saying, you cannot have these divisions in your church. All these things are causing divisions in your church. And he went over each topic that was brought up to his attention, right? He goes over many topics. It's almost like a stream of consciousness as he writes this letter. But it all points to this church has divisions, and it shouldn't have divisions if it wants to be used by Jesus Christ, right? So let's go back a verse and see what Paul was talking about before he was talking about covering your hair, right? Right before this, in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, he was talking about eating meat offered to idols, right? How many of you have done this? We don't have many opportunities to do this, right? It's not part of our culture to eat meat offered to idols. I think the closest thing we have is actually tailgating at NFL games on Sunday, right? And I don't know how, I didn't know that you could cook lechon on the back of a truck. This is only a Texas thing, I think. But if you read there, Paul says, we understand that eating food offered to idols, it doesn't affect our salvation. You know, it doesn't affect how we relate to Christ. But there are some people, there are new Christians in that church who are very sensitive to idol worship. And if they see you eating food offered to idols, they're going to associate that with all the other practices of idol worship. So as a church, let's all agree, let us not eat meat offered to idols for the sake of those younger Christians, right? We do it for the glory of God and for their good. So it is a tradition that they followed at the time, and it made sense. So now we go back to the hair covering, right? This was also a tradition in that culture where women covered their hair to honor God. And the purpose was truly to honor God. It was to say that, you know what? God made us, and he made us with differences. He made men different from women in the way they are, right? And we're going to celebrate that because God knows us. And that's just how they wanted to show everyone, how the culture wanted to show everyone that God made them, right? To show that women were women and men were men. So now you can understand why the church decided, or that they had been following that tradition, even though it didn't affect their salvation. It didn't affect their relationship with Jesus Christ. But they did it to honor God as a church. If that doesn't make any sense to you, we have a tradition that we in America used to follow, and maybe in the Philippines too, where we used to wear our Sunday best to church, where men would wear suits, where women would wear their best dresses and maybe fancy hats. And they had a purpose for doing so, right? They wanted a symbol to show that they wanted to give their best to God, even though it meant their discomfort. And I look around, this is not part of this culture, right? It's a tradition. It doesn't affect your salvation. You can wear whatever you want. It matters to Jesus that you glorify God. And you can read what he thinks about traditions in Mark chapter 7 if you want. He doesn't care about the traditions. He wants you to glorify God in what you do. But there still remains the fact that some younger Christians, some immature Christians, get confused if people in the church are doing things differently. And so we give in those who are more mature so that we have unity within the body. So take, for example, if you have a problem with whatever we're wearing in the pulpit or as a worship leader or in praise and worship, if it's keeping you from worshiping God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, we will gladly wear whatever you want us to wear for God's glory and for your good. You understand about traditions, right? It doesn't matter whether what I'm wearing, I'm still going to be saved. I'm still going to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, but I will wear whatever you need me to wear so that you can also worship Christ in one mind and one spirit. Amen. So there should be no divisions in the church, which brings me to my first main point, which is we are all the same because of Jesus. Remember, before we accepted Jesus Christ, before we made God number one in our lives, we were all under sin and had fallen short of the glory of God. But when we made God number one in our lives, when we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we were in Christ. We were adopted into his family. In fact, he offers us everything that he offers his son, Jesus Christ, short of his divinity, right? So in Christ, we receive his grace. He gives us his glory even though we don't deserve it. We have received redemption in Christ. He has paid for our sins. We don't have to go to hell anymore because we are sinners. We are justified in Christ. He has made us right with God because of Christ. We have received forgiveness in Christ. There is now no condemnation in Christ. We are no longer blamed for the sin that we have committed. We are new creatures in Christ. We have eternal life in Christ. All our needs are met in Christ. Every spiritual blessing is given to us in Christ. We are presented perfect to God in Christ. We are not ever separated from God in Christ. That is true for everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that makes us one, right? The same. Because we are all adopted into his family, that makes you my brother, that makes you my sister, and each other brothers and sisters. Yeah, we get annoying sometimes, but we're still related in Christ, and we are one church body in Christ. There's another tradition in our church that we have. We stand when it's time to read the main verses, scripture, and we do that to honor God. So if you would join me in standing as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 12 to 31. And we do this to show honor and glory to the reading of God's word. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31, it says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. You may be seated. So remember the main point, the first main point is we are all the same because of Jesus. Main point number two is we are all different because of Jesus. We have unique roles. God has designed us that way. God made you, right? You missed it. No, too late. God made us each perfect. He had made you unique. He's made you different in order that we would fulfill God's purpose that he has designed us for, each and every one of us, right? Just for, as an example, recent example, how our church functioned without Pastor James, right, without a senior pastor. Many of you may have thought, oh, business as usual. It might have been fulfilling, but it was hard. It was a struggle, right? It took the entire church body to fill the position of senior pastor and what his role is in the church. And I think some ministries kind of suffered because of that. If we're missing a part of the body, it really dampens what we can do, right? There is another instance in our church history that I'm reminded of that happened in the same way. Do you know early in our church history, we had a pastor and we had deacons, but we didn't have elders, right? And if you don't realize by now, I'm not Pastor James. I am an elder. I just look like his older, more handsome brother. And you can tell that to Kuyamet. I said, I look like him. But we were a smaller church back then. It didn't make any sense to have so many positions, right? We had the pastor and we had the deacons. And because we didn't have elders defined at that time, the deacons were kind of expected to step up and fill the role of elders and live up to the requirements, the higher requirements that we hold for elders. Now, at that time in the church and throughout, even now, we have had women filling deacon positions, and they have been doing it well every time because we know that God has designed them perfectly for these positions. But there's a time where there was a group of people in our church who were opposed to women as deacons. Even though you could point to deaconess, you know, mentions of deaconesses in the Bible, but within our church, because we didn't have elders, they were pointing to 1 Timothy chapter 2, which says women should not have authority over men in the church. You can imagine that. Let me be clear. Just before your mind starts to wonder about that part, that we're not saying that women incapable of performing such roles. We think they can. In fact, I think we built a parsonage for a church in the Philippines where a woman is a pastor, correct? Yes. But within this church, we acknowledge that God has assigned the responsibility to men to love and care for their wives as a testimony of how Jesus loves and cares for his church, the bride. And in the same way, wives are called to submit to their loving, underscore bold print, husbands. Let me repeat that. Wives are called to submit to their loving husbands who are submitting themselves to God as a testimony of the church submitting and being cared for by our Lord Jesus Christ, our bridegroom. So that is our stance in the church. And we are doing all this for the glory of God. It is a tradition that we follow in this church. It doesn't affect salvation, but we want to give a good testimony of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, so back to the church history, now that I got that covered. If you knew my dad, who, by the way, wore a suit or brong to every Sunday worship, he had a talent to use his humor and comedy to make awkward situations more awkward. And so during one of the congregational meetings that was dealing with this issue of women in the deaconate position, he stands up smiling, quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 to 35, which says, "Women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission. As the law says, if they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home. For it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church." I believe the sixth commandment was broken a few times that day as those women shot death stares at my dad, my smiling dad. Again, context is key. And of course, my dad used that verse out of context. It doesn't mean what you think it means. Although, if you take it at face value, you could obviously interpret it that way. When Paul was describing the gifts in chapter 14, he stated that everyone should want to edify or encourage the church, right? That is the highest motivation that we should have for our love for one another. We should edify or encourage the church. And preaching is one of those gifts, and actually it's one of the greater gifts used to do so, right? Now, there were women in that church of Corinth that also wanted that notoriety, that praise, that recognition of preaching within the church, but they were not designed by God to do so. They were not made for preaching, but it didn't stop them. During the worship service, they would get up in the church of Corinth and say, "Listen, here is the word of the Lord." Right? They were speaking in tongues, without anyone interpreting what they were saying. So can you imagine how confusing that is to immature Christians who they themselves, how are they supposed to know what God is saying and what God is not, to hear that and not hear a translation? It was sowing confusion in the churches, and Paul was pointing it out. You can't do that. God has given you a unique role within the church. And the body doesn't perform as well if you are performing a role you weren't designed by God to accomplish, right? And we read that. What if you were a foot and you wanted to be a mouth? You just look like you have your foot in your mouth, right? If you were a hand and you wanted to be an ear, imagine how hard it is to try to feel vibrations and interpret those vibrations when the ear is designed to do so very easily. It's doable, but very hard, right? And Paul understood this truth, that we can't do everything by ourselves. We really need each other. And Paul exhibited this in his ministry, in his mission trips. He was hardly ever alone. He was always relying on his friends to encourage him, to minister to him. He understood that he wasn't even made to do it by himself. His friends, his helpers were there because God had designed for them to be there, made for them to be there, right? So when one of us is hurt or out of service, others take action to get the body back working as God intended. So if an arm hurts, the other arm braces it, right? If you fall and hit your head, where's my friend Paul? Your hands brace your head to try to make it feel better, right? If your leg falls asleep, say, your whole body will try to shake your leg to wake it up or pinch it or do something so that your body is functioning as it should be. If the body ignores sin, it can affect more of the body. What if you had found out that you had cancer? Would you ignore it? No, your first instinct when you find out that you have cancer is to get it out right away. You don't want any part of it because you know if you leave it alone, if you ignore the cancer, it'll spread to the rest of your body. And that is the same with sin, just as Kuya Lester said 2 weeks ago. If we find sin within the body, the church body has to work fast to get rid of it, or else it might spread to the other parts of the church body. And each part is vital. You are vital to this church. Do you understand that? Without you, this church body is crippled. We can't function as God has intended, or as fully as God has intended. And when parts are missing, the church feels it, right? God has designed you for the church body. Which brings me to main point number 3. We as a body are sustained by God's grace, right? Christ is the head of the body of Christ. If we are the body of Christ, the head of the body is Jesus Christ, who has made us one body. The body of Christ is made to embody Christ to the world. So we can only do that working as one body directed by the mind. And we are only functioning when all the parts of the body are controlled by the head. Those of you in the medical field, have you ever seen a patient where the mind is working, but the body, it has no control over any of the body parts? The body doesn't respond to the mind. It's terrible. It doesn't get proper nutrition. It doesn't exercise. It wastes away to skin and bones. It's as if you're looking at death itself. It is not what a healthy body is supposed to look like, or what God has designed for the body. We need to be surrendered to the mind of Christ. How do we know that we, the church body, are controlled by the head, Jesus Christ? How are we supposed to know that? If we function in love. If what we're doing in our ministries, we're doing it because we love God, because he first loved us. If we're doing what God has purposed us to do, because we are overflowing with the love that God has filled us with, and we are trying to share that love, we know we are functioning as a healthy body, right? We're not just doing it because someone told us to do it or someone expects us to do it. We're not children. We do the workings of the body of Christ in love. If you need a better explanation of this, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? This is how we know. So, what is the application that we can receive from this? Well, God made you for a reason. Yes. God made you for a reason. Okay. You know, nowadays, many people are trying to find themselves and their purpose. Have you ever met someone like that? They don't know who they are. Then they're trying to answer the question, why am I here? Why does it even matter? Who am I? They're searching for something that they can be excited to wake up to every morning, or something that would give them peace every day. And they can try new things, right? And they get bored right away, and they have to look for something new. And then that becomes their mantra. I'm always going to try something new every day. And do you see a problem with that? There's just so many good things. There's so many safe things you can try before you have to try harmful, dangerous things to you and your family. That is not the answer if you're still interested in that, there was someone who actually tried everything that this world had to offer, and he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. So if you are interested in that, study that. But take this away. You can only know your purpose in the context of the church. You can only know yourself within the context of the church. God made each of his adopted sons and daughters to function as part of the church body. That is how he designed us. He made us for this. And you won't know what God has made you for, your identity, your purpose, why you're here, except from within the context of the church. If you are not part of this church, I'm afraid you don't know who you really are. Or you are relying on the world to define who you are, and it's going to change every day. If you want to know who God thinks you are, you have to know it within the context of the church. I wanted to do this object lesson where all the church members held hands, right? And we would all form this long chain of members of the church body so we could see that our church body looks like a big snake. No. But because this is graduation Sunday, we won't do that, thank God, right? But just imagine what effort it would take, right? Some people would have to leave the comfort of their chairs. They would have to make other people uncomfortable, invading their personal space. People would have to stand in the aisles. Some people would have to be stretched as far as they could so that everyone would be holding hands. And this is the same thing for our church, right? If you want to be defined within the context of our church, you cannot be just a Sunday member. Our church is not a Sunday church. It is an everyday church. And because the way that our church is set up, where we are living as far as the northwest all the way down to the southeast, and where we're working, it's really hard to meet as one body of Christ all the time. And that's why we are pushing for you to join the satellite Bible study groups. We have this push available where we're going to let you meet the satellite Bible study groups within 2 weekends, right? So that you can be involved. Because we need for you to be in the body of Christ. Just as you need to know who you are within the body of Christ. It's going to take some effort on your part, right? It's going to mess with your schedule, your busy schedule. But I'm praying that you become uncomfortable, that you make the effort, because this is what God called you to do. We cannot function without you. And can you imagine, we are a medium-sized church, but where we live and where we work, we have the outreach of a mega church. We cover a lot of ground, especially with our mission statement for our love for the Filipino culture. We have a large task that is available to us, but we can't do it by ourselves. There's no way we can do this by ourselves, and we were not designed to do this by ourselves. So I ask and urge you, join the satellite Bible study groups. If there is not one available to you, make us think about it. We are looking to create new Bible study groups. We just need the people who want to meet together instead of just people who want to go someplace because they have nothing else better to do. Right? You can only know yourself within the context of the church. Now, if you're still trying to find yourself and you are tired of the lies the world has been feeding you, it all starts with making Jesus Christ number one in your life. He will accept you the way you are because he is the one who made you perfectly. And he knows everything. He is able to make you perfectly. If you want your purpose for living to give you hope, to give you peace, I invite you to join me in this prayer as we pray right now. Let us pray. Holy God, Heavenly Father, I have often asked the question, why am I here? Does it even matter if I'm here? Does anyone care? But you're telling me now, you're telling me today that you care. You made me, and you made me perfectly, beautifully, uniquely. You know my worth, O Lord, because you made me. And I realize now that you have paid the highest price for me. O Lord, I know my sin has kept me from you. And I now realize that the price that you paid, your son Jesus Christ, has paid for that sin so that I may approach you if I choose. And I choose to call you my God right now. Please, O Lord, accept my... Please, I want to be forgiven. I want to know who I am. I want to know what my purpose is, because this life is so cruel and so heartless. Please give me your heart. Allow me to find a church body to be part of, the one that you've made me for, so that I can truly know not only who I am, but reveal who you are. Holy Father, we just pray, Almighty God, that you would remind us, that you would continue to remind us that you made me, that you are for me, that you are always with me, that you will always love me, and that you have made me for this reason. Oh God, our Maker, our Redeemer, our faithful friend, we ask all this in your most precious name. Amen.